If you look in your bulletin, you will see a name that perhaps you don't recognize as having a birthday. By the way, I want to make sure that you're aware that Troy has a birthday today. That's why his dear mother is here, and aunt, relational aunt. Welcome, Alice. Welcome, Barbara. Well, under the birthday... Oh, is Virginia's birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, my. I'm getting informed as well as I'm informing all of you, too. You're probably ahead of me. But Emmerich Engelman is a name that perhaps you don't see in the congregation very often. In fact, it would be extremely rare for you to know who Emmerich is. But this week, I had a poignant experience with this young man who is soon to be 7 years old on the 21st. And he lives in Dayton, Ohio. And as I was interacting with my grandson, I actually was out of the room, came into the room, and noticed that he was on his haunches, so to speak, doing artwork with aroma felt pens that actually have flavors. And he was doing this artwork on the floor and on his elbows doing it. And his first words were to me, "I don't like the word death." At that point, I had not noticed what was playing on his recorder. It was the Bible and Living Sound series, and apparently there was a story that he had been listening to, as he often does, dealing with death. And I can't recall which story it was. It may have been John 11, where Lazarus has died, and Mary and Martha are involved with a discussion about, well, why didn't you come? He's dead. And so Emmerich just assumed possibly that I would know, I was aware of the story. His first words were, "I don't like the word death." That really surprised me. That's not our normal conversation with a six-year-old, soon to be seven-year-old. And I thought, my. And then the thought came to me, what an opportunity to tell him why Jesus is so important. And it wasn't very long, but I shared that with him. I said, this is the reason, Emmerich, that we highlight Jesus, because he can take care of that word, death. He takes that upon himself, and he takes care of that word that we would wish would not be a part of our world. The very words that we read in our scripture today are said in the context of Christ's awareness that he will be dying soon. When was this shared? When was this, these words that we read in our scripture reading? Thank you, Dale, for reading. And it is when? Just before his death, just before his imminent death the next day. And so you can see where this topic, death, is certainly on his mind, and as he prepares his disciples to face his death, knowing that they also, like Emmerich, would say, "I don't like the topic of death." We know in Desire of Ages, she talks about the atmosphere of what was happening, and they recognize that Jesus is not the same person. You know how you do when you notice a person that maybe is having a melancholy moment like Emmerich? You notice, why aren't they responding to you? what's happening? Are you feeling well? You know, we have a perception check, don't we, of people that are facing that, the D word, the death word, or feeling like they'd like to be dead, or they don't like that topic. And in Emmerich's case, there was a tragic death of a young staff member, apparently a teacher who had two young children during the school year. And so Emmerich, along with 400 others in that school, experienced the loss, that the atmosphere of death coming close at hand. And Jesus, feeling death close at hand, was sending that message to his disciples. Whether he explicitly said that or not, it was communicating to them. And then, of course, the overriding issues of betrayal that Jesus knew between he and Judas, and as well as who's going to be in the right place, the right place. And so, in this context of imminent death, Jesus shares some of the words that we read today. Just a fraction, this whole section of John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 are all given in the context of an imminent death. And Jesus is trying to prepare them for this loss, like I was hoping to possibly prepare Emmerich as he, as a six-year-old going on seven, deals with a less than ideal world in his young mind. And so Jesus says, basically, I'm going to focus in on two verses in this section. If you look at your scripture where the passage was read from, notice in verse 17, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, and I believe that's a expression that Jesus used in the sense that if you're of the world, you prefer darkness. You don't like the light of truth. And yet we also know that in Romans 1, the Spirit of God does move upon people that are receptive to him, possibly in ways that they don't even understand. So this has to be qualified in a sense, because we know there's that, what theologians call prevenient grace, grace that comes to us even before we don't even know about Jesus. Romans 1 is probably a good example, that they are without excuse, that there is impressions that the Spirit leads them to. But notice what he says. He abides with you, this Spirit of truth that we have, you and I have, abides with you and will be in you. With you and in you. I'm looking forward to the, I don't know if you have looked already on your smartphone device, but our Wednesday prayer meeting launches our 10 days of prayer. And if you look at 10daysofprayer.org, on your smartphone, you will find the topics of each day in the evening that we're going to be encountering at Pam's house. And we're focusing in on the Holy Spirit. The topics are, I would say, according to Jesus' words, crucial for us as Christians to know about the Holy Spirit. And so I'd encourage you to look at your internet, your source, and look at the topics for each evening on this 10daysofprayer.org website as we prepare to move into this special week. And you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. And looking at the second verse, for our focus this day. Notice in verse 26, but the helper, some translations use counselor, comforter, advocate, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. I want to focus in on the title that I've entitled these few minutes that I have with you, A Memory Aid. One of the most moving spiritual spots that I have ever seen, and perhaps Keith Carlin has been aware of this spot, and perhaps if you watched the Hope television, you will have seen this spot. It is a very attention-getting music bed, keyboard bed, you hear, and then you see something that looks, well, you see a person that's sleeping with their hand is outside the covers, and then you see a serpent-like scarlet cord moving up the stairway, and it gets your attention. It encompasses all the learning modes, but perhaps, the visuals are strong, the audio is very strong, and the kinesthetic feelings that happen to you in your mind when you see this scarlet cord wandering up the stairs like a serpent. And finally, this long scarlet cord ends up tying a ribbon knot on this person's finger that's sleeping in bed. And then he's awakened by this experience of this scarlet cord being tied on his index finger while he's sleeping. You would too, wouldn't you? And he follows the scarlet cord down to his waiting Bible, where he has the privilege to be reminded that God wants to talk to him. The Holy Spirit is a memory aid. He's the one that says, I want a relationship with you. I want to make sure that you know that there's an antidote to this world of death and conflict and violence. I want to give you peace. So today in my remarks, I just wanted to emphasize, as we enter into a special Holy Spirit emphasis with the 10 days of prayer, that Jesus' last words emphasizes the Holy Spirit as the comforter, the counselor. We need counselors, don't we? And we need comfort. We need a helper in this world that is so pervasively the world instead of Jesus. So today, as we highlight all the dimensions of learning. In fact, some of you educators here probably have looked at various ways of the diversity of the way that you are taught. You're most, you know, some of us get a lot out of listening to another person. Others like to read. Others like to feel and have the social aspects in their spirituality. And then, of course, there's the deeper educational aspects of how we learn. But the Holy Spirit knows how you best learn, can custom make revealing Jesus in all his beauty to each of us in the perfect way of your own learning mode. So today, as we highlight, there's aroma here, isn't there? There's visual. And there's certainly kinesthetic going on as we highlight John 13. In fact, there's some here that don't like their feet touched, as you know. You may not like that as well. Anyway, the feeling, the kinesthetic aspects of all that's going on here helps us learn about heaven's order. The men will move to the lower level of the church as we share together. There is a family room area, too, if families would like to participate. The ladies can remain here as well as they as you share together in the John 13 highlighting of fellowship as Jesus expressed his servanthood to all of us here. We reflect it back to each other as well through this experience.